This is the 5 o'clock report, 20 minutes of uninterrupted news, commercial free. I'm Jeff Kaplan. KSL's top story, we're going to spend nearly $1 billion, but before the move to Utah, Arizona's NHL team had a long history of draining the taxpayers of money. KSL News Radio's Amy Kobabe is live. She has a look at a team that spent decades holding its hand out. Amy?
Jeff, the Arizona team has been racking up financial losses. In 2009, the team's owner filed for bankruptcy. The NHL bought the team, saved it, but taxpayers in Glendale paid $25 million to keep the team in town, with $15 million each year to operate the arena. The city then kicked the team to the curb a few years later. But then their new home in Tempe wasn't all open arms either. Voters there rejected plans for a massive new arena. And now former owner Alex Marullo promised Arizona taxpayers on Friday that if he does resurrect the Coyotes franchise in the future, he'll do it without taxpayer funds.
My goal will be to build a first-class sports entertainment district without seeking financial support from the public. No taxpayer dollars, no tax breaks.
So what will make Utah any different for this team? Ryan Smith already has an arena with plans to update, but he doesn't want to do it without taxpayers. If the city council approves it, a new 0.5% sales tax would go in the city, and that would be implemented for about 30 years to raise $1 billion. Reporting live, Amy Kobabe, KSL News Radio.
So how's Utah's NHL team going to get its name? Team owner Ryan Smith told the Pat McAfee Show that they're going to narrow down the slew of suggested team names through a bracket system.
I think we're going to take this down from like 8 all the way down, and the fans are going to vote for this. So it should be good.
Some of the front-runner names that will most likely be part of these brackets: the Blizzard, the Fury, Venom, Yetis, the Outlaws. For those worried about the integrity of online voting, Smith says Qualtrics technology will be able to handle the bots that often show up in such online polls. There's no current timeline as to when this will be decided or when these brackets will be set up. The snowpack is melting off. Utah's rivers and streams are running high and fast. That is why officials are warning you to stay clear.
This time of year, just let the water do its thing.
National Weather Service hydrologist Glenn Merrill tells me this water is not only moving at hundreds of cubic feet per second, it's not even 40 degrees.
Being in the water this time of year is not something that's recommended.
He says if you want to watch it from a distance, just don't stand right on the edge of the bank because the water could be undercutting it, making it unstable.
KSL News Radio's Adam Small there. Merrill says we could be seeing some rivers peak late after Memorial Day. It's now safe to fish at Penguich Lake again. The emergency closure of the reservoir was canceled this morning. Repair crews have reinforced the dam after cracks were found, and you are now free to enjoy trout fishing without fear of being washed away. Just before 3 this afternoon, the Salt Lake Fire Department responded to a situation where 2 men were left injured by a shed collapse. This was at 9th East and Browning Avenue.
There was a structure collapse, a shed in the backyard of a private residence that had one person still under the roof. The roof remains intact, and the person was lodged underneath the roof. The other person was also hit by the falling roof.
The department's captain, Chad Jepperson, says his crews cut a hole in the roof and got the man pinned underneath out. Both men are recovering at the hospital with minor injuries. Witness testimony is set to begin in former President Trump's trial. Maria Chaleos is live at the KSL National News Desk.
Jeff, the first prosecution witness will take the stand when the criminal trial resumes tomorrow. ABC's John Santucci reports former National Enquirer CEO David Pecker will be the first to testify.
It just shows the speed to which Judge Merchan is moving these proceedings. With the fact that openings are done, we're already on the first witness for prosecutors.
The prosecutor told jurors that Donald Trump tried to illegally influence the 2016 presidential election by preventing damaging stories about his personal life from becoming public. The defense says Mr. Trump is innocent. The pro-Palestinian encampment-style protests like the one at New York's Columbia University have spread to at least 8 other universities. At Yale today, police made nearly 4 dozen arrests. Student protester Chisato Kimura says they've been asking the school for months about its investments.
Demanding that Yale disclose their investments and that they divest from weapons manufacturing and war in response to what's been happening in Gaza.
Officers arrested the students for criminal trespass after they refused to leave. And the State Department's human rights report shows shows the war in Gaza has negatively impacted the country's human rights. And it documents credible reports of more than a dozen types of human rights abuses. It also shows that Israel has killed tens of thousands of Palestinians. Live from the KSL National News Desk, I'm Maria Chaleos, KSL News Radio.
KSL News Time 5:05. First look traffic on the 5 o'clock report. Here's Ricky Meese.
The 201 is in much better shape westbound. It's a little busy left as you're going from Redwood Road to Bangor Highway, and then the usual delays from Mountain View into Magna. But if you're traveling southbound to I-15, it is bogged down Murray into Draper. And we're also seeing traffic filling in and slowing down southbound on I-215's West Belt from I-80 to 2100 South. Ricky Meese in the KSL Traffic Center.
Thanks, Ricky. KSL News Time 5:06. Bird flu has been detected in dairy cows as close by as Idaho. Here in Utah, that's creating a lot of concern.
The concern is how that impacts raw milk.
And in these raw milk samples, they are finding the avian influenza strain in the milk sample.
Bailey Wolstenhume from Utah's Agriculture Department says so far avian flu has not been detected in Utah dairy cows. She recommends drinking pasteurized milk because the heating process kills the virus. Dairy farmers here are on the lookout for symptoms of bird flu in their cows, including reduced milk production and changes to the quality and texture of the milk. If avian flu is suspected, farmers are urged to get their cows tested. Tammy Kikuchi, KSL News Radio.
KSL News Time 5:06. Today is Earth Day, so happy Earth Day to you. It is less happy on the other side of the Atlantic.
Climate scientists for the UN and the EU say Europe is the fastest warming continent on the planet, and that its temperatures are rising at roughly twice the global average. A new report issued on this Earth Day in hopes it will spur countries to do more to speed up the transition from fossil fuels to renewable resources like wind, solar, and hydroelectric power. Europe did generate 43% of its electricity from renewables last year, up from about 36% the year before. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
And this Earth Day, a Salt Lake Community College fashion teacher is trying to clean up an industry among the worst polluters on Earth.
Slick Fashion Institute instructor Amy Royer, who also teaches a sustainability class, combined both worlds and helped her students repurpose what they're calling Earth Couture.
It's always been like a passion of mine to upcycle things that I find at thrift stores, and these students are the exact same. They are wonderful thrifters.
Sophomore Jonas Jacob shared why he exclusively buys secondhand clothing.
It's cheaper for one thing, and the clothes are normally higher quality, you know, for what you're paying for. And so I think it is a really big deal. Buying from places like Shein and H&M, they destroy the planet.
Jacobs hopes his generation will be more mindful about where things come from and get inspired to get outside and treat our environment with care. Reporting from Slick's South Campus, Eric Cabrera, KSL News Radio.
Your traffic and weather together brought to you by Sinclair's Dino Pay app. Save up to 20 cents per gallon. Here's Ricky Meese.
Slowdowns westbound on the 201 from Redwood Road to Bangor. And then more slowing from Mountain View into Magna, eastbound I-80. A little heavy and slow, especially in the right lanes from Bangor to I-215's West Belt. The delays on southbound I-15 stretch from Murray into Draper. Northbound I-15, it's a little heavy and slow, 2100 south to North Temple. Mark?
You got some Redwood Road delays, and they're backing up a bit unusually down around Camp Williams as you struggle down to Saratoga Springs. And right there is the Mountain View Corridor. Pairs off and heads down to SR-73. Well, road work has been causing some congestion. Also on 2100 North in Lehigh this afternoon. Out west, normal delays through West Valley on the Big 3. Mountain View slows again at daybreak. SR-36 is developing delays. Lake Point to Stansberry Park right now in Tooele. Steve.
Southbound Foothill Drive still pretty busy. All leftover delays probably from that wreck we had earlier, but expect delays between Wakara Way and 21st South. Scattered slow spots on I-15 northbound from downtown into North Salt Lake. You've got thick and slow traffic on southbound 89 in Uinta. The west side belt's busy from the eastbound I-80 transition ramp up to North Temple. And it looks like they're about to load up that wreck on the West Davis Highway in Kaysville, northbound at about 1600 south by the equestrian park. That's on the right side. Otherwise, good speeds on the Legacy Parkway. The best-kept secret is this is the pass. It's a pass for fun for everyone. Now through April 30th, save $20 off on every pass level. 362 days of fun. Visit thisisthepass.com. Steve Carlson, the KSL Traffic Center.
As we head through the 5 o'clock hour, we're looking at mostly sunny skies and temperatures in the low 70s. We'll stay there for 6 o'clock and then drop down into the upper 60s for 7 and 8, mid-60s for 9 and 10, low 60s by 11. With your hourly forecast on the 5 o'clock report, I'm Kevin Eubank.
72 in Salt Lake City, sunset tonight, 8:13 p.m., KSL News Time 512, an off-the-grid community in New Mexico, is offering insight into sustainable building. Maria Chaleos is here to explain.
It's a good Earth Day topic. The community in Taos is built into the earth and is living totally off the grid in mostly recycled structures called Earthships. Now, the creator of this structure says everyone on the planet can wake up in the morning, be comfortable without fossil fuel. Everyone can grow their own food in their house and have electricity from the sun and wind. Now, he has a point. The EPA says heating, cooling, and powering buildings creates more greenhouse gas emissions than anything else in the U.S. Plus, construction and demolition create more than 500 million tons of debris each year in this country alone. Now, the community of over 100 Earthships is made of living vessels with gravel, old tires, concrete, other discarded materials like glass bottles, and they are fully self-sustaining. They even have timers for their Wi-Fi and hot water use. Now, they use rainwater for their showers, solar energy provides their power, but solar energy is not used to heat or cool the structures. They use trash like old tires filled with dirt as insulation to keep them comfortable inside. The community also has 2,000 square feet of greenhouse and other growing space dedicated to growing food and two ponds for raising their own fish. They also raise their own chickens and eggs.
Happy Earth Day, everybody.
Right? Can you believe that? That's quite a commitment.
That's pretty amazing. And they managed to do everything off the grid, no problem.
Yeah.
KSL News Time,
it can be done.
5:14. One of the stories we're following on the 5 o'clock report, the Springville Museum of Art is celebrating its 100th annual Spring Salon exhibit. KSL News Radio's Emma Keddington has more.
If you don't know the history of the Springville Museum of Art, it's worth a look. The museum was started in the 1920s in the then rural middle of nowhere town by high school students. That first 1922 Spring Salon was a hit, so they've kept at it ever since. As the exhibit grew, the museum secured art from creators ranging from Georgia O'Keeffe to Norman Rockwell. Now the exhibit shows the best of Utah art. This year's collection will commemorate the exhibit's history, featuring artifacts gathered from 100 years of creative expression.
The exhibit will kick off on Saturday, April 27th. It stays open through July 6th. Trending on social media, the Rock Hall of Fame has announced its official list of nominees for this year. They've nominated Mary J. Blige, Foreigner, A Tribe Called Quest, Kool & the Gang, Ozzy Osbourne, The Dave Matthews Band, Peter Frampton, and the one I can't figure out, Cher. Cher? Some of those nominated but left out of the induction list, Lenny Kravitz, the late Sinead O'Connor, and Oasis. Let's hope they aren't looking back at their snub in anger. The official ceremony will be in October. The three things you need to know this hour. First,
officials are urging people to steer clear of fast-moving rivers and streams with spring runoff once again in full swing. I'm KSL News Radio's Adam Small.
Second, the Jets have traded former BYU quarterback Zach Wilson to the Denver Broncos. Third, our biggest traffic trouble spot.
We have some heavy delays westbound on Pioneer Crossing in Utah County, and that starts at I-15 and continues over to about 150 west, so expect that. But then if you're traveling southbound I-15 in Utah County, it's slow from American Fork to Linden. Ricky Meese in the KSL Traffic Center.
Very mild temperatures for the first half of the week, then we get a storm in here. I'm Kevin Eubank.
72 at the KSL Common Spirit Health Studios now. Our top national stories.
From ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Prosecutors brought up the infamous Access Hollywood video in which then-private citizen Donald Trump talked about how he treated women. This in opening statements in the porn star hush money criminal trial in New York. Mr. Trump's defense also mentioned his personal life, says ABC's Olivia Rubin.
Todd Blanche, his attorney, said to the jury, you know, he's not just the former president. He's not just the man that you've seen on TV with The Apprentice. And what Todd said was he's a man, he is a husband, and he is a father. And it was a really striking line that I think was going to be tried to use to counter some of these really salacious, these really raunchy details.
The first prosecutor prosecution witness, a former National Enquirer chief, resumes testimony tomorrow. President Biden, marking Earth Day, announcing $7 billion in federal grants for residential solar projects at thousands of households in low and middle income communities.
You'll get paid to fight climate change, learning how to install those solar panels, fight wildfires, rebuild wetlands, weatherize homes, and so much more that's going to protect the environment and build a clean energy economy.
President in Triangle, Virginia, the Biden administration has finalized a new rule aimed at strengthening privacy protections for women who travel across state lines to receive an abortion and health care workers involved. Passover begins amid college campus tensions about the Gaza war. ABC's Dave Packer.
New York Governor Kathy Hochul after a morning meeting with Columbia President Manoush Shafik.
Students are scared. They're afraid to walk on campus. They don't deserve that.
In a social media post, Hochul saying the recent harassment and rhetoric is vile and abhorrent. This after a statement from Shafik blaming amplified tensions on individuals who are not affiliated with Columbia who have come to campus to pursue their own agendas.
Gasoline prices went up a national average of 4 cents a gallon for regular in the past week, says the Energy Department. You're listening to ABC News.
Time for the KSL In-Depth. So we're getting an NHL team, but a team that in Arizona had a long history of financial struggles. We figure that in Utah, there's a lot of optimism that things might be better. KSL News Radio's Amy Kobabe's been following the story today, and she's joining us live now. So first of all, tell us a little bit about the history, about the Coyotes and taxpayer money over the last 28 years.
Yeah, the team has really struggled to make money and pay their bills for years. They declared bankruptcy in 2009. That's when the NHL saw an opportunity, bought the team, actually threatened to maybe move them to Canada. But then the city of Glendale paid millions to keep the team close. Then eventually they ended their lease and the team moved to that really small ASU stadium. They've been struggling to find a place to play most recently and just fill seats. All that to say, a lot of taxpayer money has been spent. Not a lot of ticket money has come in for this team.
Okay. Has the former owner said anything about this, about the grab for state money in Arizona?
Yeah, he said it just most recently on Friday during that that big announcement alongside the NHL commissioner. So this was former owner Alex Marulo, very positive about wanting to still resurrect the Coyotes franchise. But with this long history of financial struggles, he promised to do it without taxpayer funds. But you have to wonder where he'd get the money for an arena all by himself, where he'd get the money to really resurrect a franchise that has just kind of left that state of Arizona, and if he could do it within the next 5 years.
So along comes Ryan Smith, who plans to use about $1 billion in taxpayer money for Delta Center upgrades and entertainment district. Where does all that sit right now?
This is what we're really going to be hearing about for the next six-ish months. So the revitalization zone will be in downtown. That will include a revamp of the Delta Center. So that would be to accommodate a hockey rink for years to come. The city council has heard kind of these plans. They've had their look at it. The public hasn't had a look at it yet, though. So we're still waiting for that. But taxpayers will be paying an additional 0.5% in sales tax. That would be for 30 years. Smith has until September to get this plan all in place. So it would include the Delta Center. It has to include, you know, plans for roads and crime and how they would just do every little detail in this zone, and all of that to raise about $1 billion. Speaking to city leaders, they're sounding very optimistic about this, and I'd be surprised if there wasn't just full support for this plan.
It's a big lift, but it's a lot of money. Thanks a lot, Amy Kobabe. It's 5:21. Traffic and weather together brought to you by Sinclair's DinoPay app. Save up to 20 cents per gallon. Here's Ricky Mies.
For those traveling southbound on I-15, we have our usual delays in place from 4500 South Murray into Draper. Northbound I-15, a little heavy and slow, 1300 south to North Temple. Westbound on the 201, also crowded and slow as you go from I-15 to Bangor and from 5600 West into Magna. Mark?
It's been pretty rough in Utah County on I-15 southbound at Pleasant Grove Boulevard, and then trying to get Pioneer Crossing from the freeway out to Center Street. Lehigh's been very slow. Redwood Road's been bunching up at Porter Rockwell. Out west, Bangor delays now stretching 7800 South down to 9800 South, and on I-80, looks like you've got some trouble now westbound 8 miles east of Wendover. Steve?
Lots of slow and go if you're on southbound Foothill this afternoon between Sunnyside Avenue and 21st South. Northbound I-15 from downtown, still busy in spots up to North Salt Lake. On the flip side, southbound I-15 thick through Riverdale in Weber County. Westside Belt still busy from 9 South up to North Temple, and we have good speeds, though, on Legacy. Monster winds can cause huge damage to your roof that you can't see. Don't wait for a disaster. Go to the Masters at MasterRoofingUtah.com to schedule your free windstorm assessment today. Steve Carlson in the KSL Traffic Center.
The KSL 7-day forecast starts off with plenty of sunshine and mild temperatures. We've been in the low 70s today, partly cloudy and mid-70s on Tuesday. How about upper 70s and low 80s on Wednesday under mostly sunny skies, breezy in the afternoon? All of that warm coming ahead of a storm that'll move in for Thursday. Developing valley rain, highs in the 60s. It stays stormy all the way through Friday and into Saturday. Temperatures in the upper 50s, a little below normal, with lows in the 40s. We dry out by the end of the weekend and more sunshine in 70s by next Monday. From the KSL Weather Center, I'm Kevin Eubank.
The 7-day forecast brought to you by Performance Automotive Bountiful. We got the San Diego weather today. California, yeah. 72 in Salt Lake City. We'll check the market close in just a moment.
Jeff Kaplan's Afternoon News, only on KSL News Radio.
This is Derek Miller speaking on business. Recruiting Connection is a woman-owned full-service